Welcome to the Weekly Workplace, where professionals come to find insights and inspiration for success. Hosted by the Missouri Training Institute, Dewey Thompson, Ray Lyon, and Brianna Larimer share their decades of experience training in workplaces across the nation and talk to other experts about what it takes to be a team player, a great manager, and a leader others want to follow. This is the Weekly Workplace.
Welcome to the Weekly Workplace. My name is Brianna Larimer, business trainer and consultant with Missouri Training Institute. And with you today, you have the fabulous MTI team. Dewey Thompson, our director, Ray Lyon, our associate director. And today we're talking about a topic that is difficult.
Right?
Difficult conversations. Oh my. So where do we begin with this? And I guess I just want to ask you all, let's think back to a time we had to engage in difficult conversations, maybe one that really stood out in your mind. And like, how did you know it was time? How did you know it was time to have that difficult conversation?
In my example, it was just kind of organically blew up. We were in a team meeting in front of the entire staff. And my boss and I saw things completely different. And I don't think that either one of us was really listening to the other person very well. And so it just escalated and escalated and escalated to a point where I think we really embarrassed everybody in the room. You know, it was just that awful. And Ray, you were there.
I was there. I was relatively new. And so I didn't have a lot of backdrop for the conversation that was unfolding before my very eyes. So I kind of, in some ways, I really didn't know what was going on. But when you said organic, absolutely. We were just having a normal staff meeting. And then all of a sudden it was like, kaboom.
Boom.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing about these difficult conversations is that they can occur anytime, any place.
Right.
You can bump into somebody and find yourself engaging in one without even realizing it sometimes.
Right.
So it is a hard thing to do, I think. But we've all been there before. Tell me about some of yours.
Yeah, mine was not necessarily, I guess, as organic. Mine was one that was well thought out in advance because things had kind of festered for a while. But we kind of had this false feeling of everything's okay, you know, and you knew anytime that it was a friend who was also a colleague, anytime we got together, it just felt disingenuine. And I knew that my feelings were kind of hurt because I'd been harmed by kind of a one-sided friendship for a while. And I just remember thinking to myself, okay, it's time, Brianna. It's time, Brianna. And I started thinking about everything that was at stake. I started thinking about all the feelings that I was feeling. And I started worrying a little bit about the outcome because I was concerned that the people that we worked with, I wasn't sure whose side, if you will, they would take. And so it made it difficult to really want to engage in that difficult conversation. And maybe that's a problem for a lot of our listeners, too, is, you know that something doesn't feel right. But how do you know when the right moment is to just address it? And I don't know if there's a clear answer for that.
You know, I think in your situation, it was somewhat of a personal relationship, mentioning that you were friends and then not only colleagues. I think from a manager's perspective, you have to look at the bigger picture. Is it damaging the dynamics of the team? Is it affecting our morale? Is it affecting our productivity? Is it affecting, you know, other relationships on the team? And at that point, then absolutely action needs to be taken. My difficult conversation, and I think our listeners understand my personality is very different from that of my two wonderful coworkers here. And so having a difficult conversation that for me is probably not as difficult. I wouldn't put it in that category. I know the content is difficult and how somebody else might perceive it is difficult, but I don't necessarily see it that way. Now, does my heart pound? You know, Yeah, of course. But how I know it's a difficult conversation is because when I'm with that person, it just feels fake. Mm. Like I can feel us not being ourselves. And then when I get this kind of like, ooh, that's weird, that's when I'm like, okay, something's going on. We just need to kind of, pardon my analogy here, but we just kind of pick that scab a little bit, you know, because something's happened. And obviously I'm not aware of it because a lot of times that's who I am. I'm just not aware of those things. So that's when I realize something's happened and I need to probably address it and go for it. But
and I think that's a good point that you're making, especially from that leadership managerial point of view. Sometimes we do have to surface the tension, right? These things are difficult to have. So either you might feel comfortable having them, but that doesn't mean that the person you're engaging with doesn't find it difficult.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes people avoid these kind of situations, right? They try to sweep it under the rug. So as leaders, as managers, it's sometimes very important that we kind of surface that tension, because you can't do anything about it, right? Until it's out in the open.
Right.
You got to address it somehow.
Right. Mm-hmm. In my experience, becoming a manager and hopefully a better one every time I have the opportunity is to start with a question. Mm. You know, just the fact that I'm just now recognizing that there's some kind of tension, you know, I have to give somebody else an opportunity. Are you feeling it too? Mm. You know, and maybe just a simple question just like that, you know, like, oh, I'm feeling some tension right now. Are you feeling it too? And, you know, there's going to be times where I've been so overwhelming to the other person. And I know that I'm an overwhelming personality, that they're going to be like, no, you know, because maybe I'm intimidated. I have intimidated them. But it plants a seed that says, hey, I'm open. I'm feeling it. If you're feeling it, you know, the door's open and come on through. And it might not be that moment, but maybe another moment when they've, you know, have some confidence or gotten their thoughts together. Yeah. Just starting with a question sometimes can be helpful.
You know, I think it's also interesting how in Brianna's example, it sounded like you were getting prepared for that conversation.
Right.
You know, you had a little bit of time to be a little more intentional about how you were going to engage with that person. In my example, there was no. There was absolutely no time for preparation. We went from 0 to 80 in 2 seconds. So I think our emotions were really, really high, running really high at that moment.
Yes.
So it's just different it'd be great if you had the opportunity to get yourself prepared and be a little bit more intentional with this. But sometimes you just don't have the time.
Right.
And you have to engage in it anyway.
Right. And I think our emotional intelligence in either of those moments, you know, whether you have that time to prepare and think, you know, what questions am I going to start with to open it, you know, and giving yourself those heads up, or even in your situation, Dewey, where it was like a very spontaneous eruption of emotions, but your emotional intelligence and can say, you know, wow, we're very upset right now. Like this is your little internal person going, wow, we're really upset right now. And our whole staff is sitting here observing all of this. All right. All of this stuff this conversation is happening in your head. Mm-hmm. Right. And this probably isn't a good time or a place to have this type of display. And how can we?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
No, yeah. It wasn't.
And it honestly, from my memory, is it didn't last. I mean, you got to it and you came to it and there were a few words exchanged on both sides of that. And then we pretty well took a break and everybody went to their own room, so to speak. And I know you and he continued on in private.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I guess that would be one thing I would encourage people to do is to move that into a private conversation. Right. I certainly don't want to do that in front of other folks.
Let me stop you there then. Because when you say move it into a private conversation, would you suggest doing it right then and there?
No.
Okay.
I think we both needed some time to cool down. Our emotions were running so high in that situation that we both need a little bit of time. In fact, I think we were getting close, if I remember right, to lunch. Thank goodness, because I took myself, got out of the office, went to lunch, got myself to be able to calm down. He was able to do the same. And so we were able to kind of get back to it a little bit later on, and it went a lot better. In my situation, it was we just weren't listening to one another. And I think that's one of the keys when you're having these kind of difficult conversations, is to really force yourself to listen. You know, there was a quote, I can't remember where I heard it from, but when things become furious, you should remain curious, right? So that means closing your mouth, maybe asking some questions and really trying to listen well, not only to what this person is saying to you in terms of the content, but also trying to pick up their emotional cues, right? Understand how their feelings might be affecting the conversation as well. But I think that's key for leaders is that ability to listen well in those conversations.
Absolutely. And I think that in a lot of ways, we listen to either respond, or we think if we're listening, that means that eventually we'd have to agree with the person. And I don't think that either of those are true. I think when we think about listening, and there's an old Chinese symbol, it's called ting. And it always resonates with me because it is the Chinese symbol for listen. And it is different pictures of the eyes, the ears, the heart, and the mind. So it's not just your ears that you listen with. It is your eyes. You know, are you giving them your undivided attention? It is your heart. Do you genuinely want to be listening to what they have to say? Because if you're not in a place where you want to listen, then why are you wasting everyone's time? You know, and so I think that we need to think beyond just, again, listening to either respond or listening to feel like we have to agree, because it's just listening.
Yeah. You know, that's very insightful, Brianna, because I think a lot of people confuse the idea of empathy as agreement. Mm-hmm. You know, if I empathize with you, that I see it from your point of view and I agree with you. Well, empathy is not about agreement. I can certainly see an issue from your point of view. I can understand how you feel about it, but that doesn't mean I have to agree with that. I might see it differently, but I can still empathize.
Yeah. You know, I always think empathy is about connecting to the emotion that person is having, not the situation. Mm-hmm. And so when people think that by saying, you know, oh, I understand how you feel, you know, we interpret that as you've been in my situation. And a lot of times I haven't. And so I think that's a misnomer sometimes to be like, oh, I understand. What I want to help the person sitting across the table from is, wow, that's frustrating, right? And that's the connection I want to make with you whatever that emotion is that that person's demonstrating, because I can connect with frustration or despair or stress, whatever that emotion is. That's the connection that you need to be making. Or when in either of those situations, you know, Dewey was feeling that he wasn't being listened to. And so you don't feel that my point of view is important.
Right. Right.
You know, now whether that boss agreed with you or not, but did he know that you were feeling like the work you were doing for this company was valued?
Exactly.
Exactly. And that's exactly what you wanted to hear,
mm-hmm.
You know?
And I would have calmed down very easily had I just felt I was listening. Now, I'm sure that
wanted you to do what he wanted you to do.
Yeah, but he wanted me to do what he wanted me to do. But I'm sure he probably didn't feel listened to either, you know, because we just escalated it and we really weren't listening. We weren't engaging with one another, you know, and I think that's the point that another point I'd like to make is with this particular topic is these things do not resolve themselves. Mm-mm. Right. And the importance of dialogue in order to resolve these kinds of situations and move forward in a much, much better way. You know, dialogue is the way that you solve these problems. Right. You can't really do it any other way. way. You've got to engage with people that you might not want to engage with, or engage with people that see things completely different than you. But it's through the art of dialogue, mm-hmm. back and forth communication, two-way communication, is how we kind of resolve these. You know, I often get asked in training sessions, you know, well, I've got this really bad employee, and what do I do about it? And they're always causing conflict. And I was like, you got to have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's key to it.
So let me ask you, from a supervisory management perspective, if you are maybe not a confrontational manager, and I think that gets a negative connotation sometimes to say confrontational, but I mean someone who is comfortable engaging in these difficult conversations, and you have a subordinate or an employee who is incredibly comfortable engaging in these kinds of conversations, how do you handle that?
Through dialogue. Essentially, you have to bring yourself to that conversation, and you have to be present for it. It might be very, very uncomfortable. You might need to take several breaks throughout that kind of conversation, but you still have to get back to it, right? Because that's the only way you're going to be able to really resolve it. You know, the other thing about it is to recognize, I think, that we all see the world differently, right? No matter what situation it is, you're going to have a completely different perspective of it than Ray. Ray's going to see it differently than I am. I'm going to see it differently than you. But that's part of the conversation, right? That's about sharing that information with one another so that we can better understand where people are coming from. You know, there's a good book out there. I highly recommend folks to go get it at your local Barnes & Noble too. And it's called Crucial Conversations. And they talk about in that book about, you know, you have your pool of meaning, your perspective, your lens that you view the world through, and I have mine. But the more that we're able to share our pool, our understanding, or our perception with one another, you're able to get what they call the shared pool of meaning. And it's from that that I think that where solutions to these problems can kind of come from. But you're not going to get those solutions if you're stuck in your own perspective without considering somebody else's.
When I think about, you know, let's say I'm the less confrontational of the partnership here, one of the tactics that I use is questions. And sometimes these questions, I'm going to give away all of my tricks now. Sometimes these questions I put out there, not because I necessarily need to know the answer or that I even care to know the answer, but sometimes I need the mental space to go, what the heck just happened? And I need time to be like, organizing in my mind, like, I can't believe he just said that to me. Oh my gosh, because there's always two conversations going on in your head. Mm-hmm. There's the content conversation where you're trying to decode and encode and get the information. And then there's this little person in your head going, what is he trying to say to me? You know, what's happening? I feel my face getting red. Oh my gosh, am I sweating? You know, I mean, so you're always trying to manage that inner dialogue as well as the one that's actually happening in front of you. And so having questions available and knowing yourself well enough.
How can we, based off of that Crucial Conversations book, create this environment of mutual respect and mutual purpose, you know?
And see, those are two things that they talk about in this book that are very, the conversations will come to a halt if you're not tending to those two things. So let's talk about mutual purpose. You know, we might see the world completely different, but we might have the same goals in mind, right? But how we get there might be different, or that kind of thing. So coming to somebody and saying, you know, for example, I know that you see this completely different than I do, but the one thing we do have in common is we want to get this accomplished. You know, we want to, we have this mutual goal that we're trying to achieve. So getting it in that to that point, I think is helpful, because then now is it's not such a we're working opposite one another against different goals. Now we're working towards the same goal, right? One question I sometimes ask, Ray, is getting back to your idea of questions and how it relates to this idea of mutual purpose is, are you willing to find a mutually beneficial solution to this problem? And I sometimes will ask that right off the bat. Because they got two choices then, right? Either yes, I'm willing to find it. And so that gives you some space then to be able to work towards some kind of resolution. If, however, they say no, well, I don't know if I'm going to waste my time. And if I'm the boss, guess who might win that conversation then, you know? So do you, you know, if they're not willing to work on it, you know, then there's other ways that we can resolve this.
So let me ask you then, when we think about some other tips and strategies for engaging in these difficult conversations and this difficult dialogue, what else would you suggest? So we're together, we've created mutual respect, mutual purpose. What else do I need to do?
Well, one, before you even start in on these, I mean, and again, this is hard if these kind of conversations just sneak up on you, but another thing is to really examine your own motivation. I think, are you in this conversation to resolve this? Are you in this conversation to try to help each other, you know, resolve this issue in a respectful way? Or are you in this to put somebody in their place? You know, because those are two different kind of motivations. So starting with your own motivation, I think, is important with that. You know, the other thing I think is trying to kind of recognize different behaviors. And when people, you know, we all have, as human beings, have this fight or this flight kind of situation going on in our heads when we engage in these kind of conversations. And so trying to be able to recognize those behaviors, I think can be helpful as well.
Yeah. When I think about that, I actually, I think about ways that you approach me, Ray, sometimes. And this happened in a meeting not too long ago when I kind of got quiet. And I think that, you know, you've identified that, that when I get quiet, something's going on. And so you just openly asked, you know, you've gotten quiet. What's going on? You know, and that certainly kind of opened up the door to start the dialogue. So you're right. I think it's incredibly important to be looking for those fight or flight behaviors.
And asking good questions and being prepared for what the answer might be, because it might not be what you would like it to be or what you would want it to be. And then giving space to that response. Because I know, you know, well, we don't have time for this. We need to move forward, you know? And so we kind of, I think this word you said a minute ago, do it, you know, sweep it under the rug. But again, you're going to come back to it. So should we go ahead and just address it now if we're not emotionally hijacked? And just use your best judgment on that. You know, should we go ahead and give it some space right now to maybe work it through so that we can move forward, even though it's going to take this meeting a little bit over time? Or do we need to go to lunch and revisit it after we've calmed down? But I think once, you know, you understand your team dynamics and you know what's going to work, you need to follow through. And then I think it begins to set that norm for your team as to this is how we do play in the sandbox with others. And what's interesting is, you know, we study this as a team. I mean, this is what we do. This is what we help other companies do, right? Is learn how to handle difficult conversations, you know, coach managers to be better coaches for their teams. But it doesn't mean that we're immune.
Right.
Gotcha. In our own teams.
Oh, gosh.
Right? Yeah. I mean, we're humans. We get to the point where, you know, we might want to reach across the table and go, what are you thinking? You know, and so we have the same foilables that other teams do. And we might sit here and look at each other and go, all right, everybody go to your rooms. You know, we need a timeout from each other because something's happened that's just triggered, you know, a response that none of us like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, yeah. So yeah. I don't.
Yeah, we're not immune to it. We've definitely had, all three of us have had our difficult conversations with one another before.
Absolutely.
But I think the great piece about it is we've always come back, you know, and that's, I guess, if I want to throw out some inspiring words to our listeners right now, is understand that it doesn't have to end poorly. Difficult conversations, they're difficult, of course, but they don't have to be so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can come back from them, and honestly, your relationship may be even better on the other side.
Oh, I completely agree with that. If nothing else, we've learned something about each other,
yes,
right? For the next time.
Right.
So we've learned a little bit more about your motivation. Maybe you've learned a little bit more about my motivation. I understand your pool of meaning. You understand my pool of meaning a little bit better, so that the next time that we come to this, it's a lot easier, right? It becomes a lot easier. So, and the other thing I would say is that, you know, even difficult conversations, you can still build that relationship through them, right? You can come out better on the other side, because it demonstrates that you stuck with it, right? You were able to resolve it. We were able to move past it. That's a huge thing, because I know a lot of people who, you know, can't seem to move past things, you know, and that just makes things very difficult then.
And that's what I would tell managers. Don't waste the opportunity.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you've come through a difficult situation, however, good, bad, or otherwise, once you're through it, go back and debrief it, you know, and don't let it be in vain. You know, all that, those blood, sweat, and tears, you know, don't let it be in vain, and just say, what did we learn? You know, I mean, and we do it, mm-hmm. you know, even if it, as ugly as it may or may not have been, what did we learn from that? And what are we going to use moving forward? And what are we going to try to do differently next time this rears its head? Because it will. We're humans. You know, we have good days, we have bad days, but regardless, we're a team. In the end, we're a team, and we spend a lot of time together, and we've got to make it work, and we're committed. And I know all three of us love this job.
Right. And I love the team, right? Yeah. And so we are able to get past it. But I love that idea. What did you learn from it? What did you learn about the other person? What might you do differently the next time with that person that you engage in a difficult conversation? I don't think we do enough of that debriefing to really learn from our past, yeah, so that we don't make those mistakes in the future.
Mm-hmm. And it raises your own self-awareness.
Absolutely.
Mm. You know, because I hear my own self going, well, you know me. You know me, I'm going to respond very quickly, but if you give me 10 seconds, the answer might change, you know?
Right.
Well, as we start wrapping up then today, I just want to thank all of our listeners out there. We appreciate you tuning in to The Weekly Workplace, and
go be great.
Thanks for listening to The Weekly Workplace, hosted by the Missouri Training Institute. Dewey, Ray, and Brianna stand ready to connect with you and meet your training needs. Be sure to check out ways to contact them in the episode description or at mti.missouri.edu.